Good morning. It's 9:04 a.m. December 6th, 2012. Today's Kathy's birthday. Very good day. Today's discussion is about the real nature of complexity. Why things like Occam's razor really don't aid us that much. And where we're headed to, or from where we are at the moment. The idea of complexity for me comes from the 22 trillion times a second pulse that creates all of reality around us. It jumps to the middle of all the galaxies, then from there to the middle of all the solar systems, and then from each sun to every object in that solar system. It also gets all of those objects, including dust, that kind of thing, in between all of the solar systems and galaxies, etc. The pulse creates everything 22 trillion times a second. If we think about it, space is really, 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 really big. But it didn't start off that way. You'll note that the academics of the planet that are enthralled with Western, going all the way back to Greek understanding, which has been sort of perverted, proffer the idea that space exists independent of the stuff in it. And so their idea is that there was a big bang and in an infinite empty space, and the universe created itself in that infinite empty space. This could not be more wrong. In fact, what happened in the origin of the universe and the creation of it all, of the materium, was that the pulse, 22 trillion times a second, in the very first, this is really cool actually, the very first instance of the pulse creating matter, in my little bloop theory as opposed to the Big Bang theory, is that the pulse came into being, crossed all of space instantly, and turned around and came back and crossed over itself and banged into itself at a very slightly oblique angle, 22 trillion times within that first second. So the pulse traveled through all of space 22 trillion times in that first second of the materium. Now, that meant that it crossed itself 22 trillion times. And so the density of itself, that nexus, the area in which it the intersection of all of the crossings within that space, that formed the first core, if you will, of the first atom. Now, it's my understanding, my thinking, that it took between 3 and 6.5 seconds for the first atom to create itself. And that's how I think universe materium started, was one atom at a time. And each atom comes along, each atom brings its own space. There was no space before the first atom. When the first atom created itself from the pulse, it's understandable that the pulse could cross all of space at that time 22 trillion times in a second, simply because space was very, 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 very small. It was hardly any bigger than that atom that was going to pop into existence with it. And therefore, the pulse could jump across it really fast. Now, it gets tricky as we go along because each gets a little bit more complicated. So let's just say it took 6.5 seconds. So 6.5 seconds, we had 120 plus trillion intersections to form a very dense nexus, and that very dense nexus decided it had to do something that couldn't allow any more crossings to occur. And so what it did do was to create matter. And that matter plopped into existence with a bloop, and probably didn't make any noise. And because there was no waves or anything to make noise and nothing to hear it. But nonetheless, it's kind of cool to have a noise to go along with it. So the little bloop occurred, and there was the first atom. It was probably a hydrogen ion, actually. And there are reasons for that we needn't go into. So 6.5 seconds later, we got the first instance of matter occurring. And from then on, it's been continuous, okay? And it's been continuously popping in every 22 trillionth of a second. The reason you can ascertain that is because after the first 6.5 seconds, more or less, between 3 and 6.5 seconds, and the first creation of the first atom, every crossing thereafter reaches a certain level of multiplicity, because bear in mind the density on the entirely energy side of materium of that first atom still exists. Even though that atom may have terminated its life and in terms of what it was supposed to do in materium, and it no longer exists. Atoms in the materium are not persistent. Their template, if you will, within the energy world is persistent because of the nature of the pulse itself and the pause. And so it gets real complicated from there, which is one of the reasons I think Occam's razor is bullshit, is because Occam's razor postulates that simple is the general trend of universe, that which can be observed to be the more simple rather than more complex is more likely the solution. And I would dispute that. It's simply projecting a mental attitude on universe that universe has never demonstrated exists. That mental attitude being that simplicity somehow equals truth. And in fact, we find that the opposite is usually the case, that the truth is usually so complex it's very difficult for us to wrap our brains around it. And so, in fact, if you look at the nature of Occam's razor and a lot of these other postulates, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is a good example as well. These are actually expressions that are projections of a mental attitude onto universe. There's no demonstrable evidence from universe providing us a sound reason for thinking that Occam's razor is in fact accurate. So I'm a big fan of understanding that universe is actually moving the other way. It becomes more and more complex over time. I've seen this demonstrated in my lifetime, and everybody usually will see it demonstrated in their lifetimes, just given the nature of the progression of events over time and the escalation of complexity as more and more nexuses are created in the energy world, creating more matter, which causes the potential for more interactions to occur. And it is that potential, if you will, that is the gray area in which life is lived, in which the indeterminate exists. Now, that gets into a whole other subject itself, the value and purpose of the indeterminate or uncertain within chaos. Because you note that chaos could not exist without the very nature of uncertainty. But to a certain extent, uncertainty. The nature of uncertainty itself, however, involves the participation of our minds on the events as they unfold. Events in and of themselves are not uncertain if there's no mind to interpret it, very much like sound. You know, the whole tree falling in the forest creates waves in the air, but I would say that if there's no being there to hear and react to it, there's no sound created. Just as the nature of complexity itself it requires a certain level of interpretation within the minds that are perceiving it for such things as chaos to exist. Therefore, chaos in and of itself is not an abstraction that exists without beings, just as order doesn't exist without beings to perceive order. Matter merely is, in either cases, without the beings. This is very crucial, because it gets down to mind control, the way people manipulate other beings, the way that we're all manipulated in a mass level and a micro level, microcosm even. If you frame the perspective, then you can frame the thoughts that being is likely to have about the reality that they're encountering. This is especially true with us dumb bastards running around with our five senses and thinking that, you know, that's really a solid apple you're biting into, and that those atoms are somehow merged with the atoms of your cells. This can be demonstrated as being absolute total bullshit just by the very nature of our perception of reality and the conundrum that this is presented to us. If atoms were solid, as material world aficionados and believers would have you understand, such things as coffee stains could not exist, because how could one substance penetrate in and cause a change in the atoms of the other substance, absent the chemical reaction that we see with catalytic within the nature of a catalytic process reaction? So a stain could not penetrate and then therefore be not removable. And basically, if you think of things as solid, how is it that your skin could take ink? Wouldn't the ink of the tattoo grow out and fall off unless it's actually merged with the cells of your body and participating within your body from that point on? So the scientists of the material world who view the materium as being a discreetly separate solid atom constructed with permanent atoms as the basis are quite wrong. This can be demonstrated easily with bazillions of thought experiments that defy the nature of that just with complexity that we see in ordinary life. So, ordinary life is very complex. The complexity is basically existent because we're interpreting it. But there is demonstrable evidence in the universe that complexity is the general trend as opposed to simplicity. So you can do away with all the things like Occam's razor or anybody telling you then in any way that simple is the best. And the larger expression of being human would likely be to harmonize with complexity, learn to swim in it and enjoy it and find ways to live successfully within it, as opposed to attempting to fight it and find something that does not exist, which is simplicity. Now, it's quite easy to find simplicity within the complexity simply because simplicity itself as a is an expression of your brain, and you can decide, okay, I'm going to be simple today and concentrate on this to the exclusion of everything else and leave out those areas of complicatedness that make my life or make me appreciate the complexity. This is really, to a certain extent, one of the points of meditation in terms of a side benefit of its use within the materium is that the consciousnesses that use meditation within the materium arrive at the ability to exclude at a conscious level, little c conscious level, the intrusion of the rising complexity of universe around them. And this becomes very important, and we actually call this grounding or centering. Now, centering makes a lot more sense, but if we just examine grounding as an emotional layer upon the experience placed on it by our linguistic part of our brain, then what's that telling us? Well, it's telling us that we think of the meditation or grounding experience as being just that, the ability to act as a ground in an electrical sense and allow those things to flow through us and leave us basically untouched, the way that electricity flows through the copper and in a sense leaves it untouched. So, again, very important to pay attention to the language as we go along in this, because it reveals a whole lot about how we think about these things. And if we understand how we think about them, then basically being self-monitoring allows us to know who's coming around to fuck with us. And if we're being screwed with, because then you note your own thought process and you can say, okay, hey, something's wrong here. Stop and analyze it. You don't have to participate with it. You don't have to be at its mercy, because you're in control of your own mind. And you know what? There's an old Zen saying that in yoga, and I'm sure it's all over the place, that the mind is a great tool and a terrible master. And rather, you should understand that will should be the master. And will is very difficult to describe. You can feel it, though. You know you've got willpower the very minute you exercise it, and you have it as long as you exercise it. It's very easy to achieve. You can build it up. Unlike your muscles, it shows real growth right away. Every time you exercise it, you get that much better at it. And pretty soon, you understand that willpower is a different thing from your mind. And it can control the mind. It makes the life a little bit easier, I think. Because there's a lot of complexity and stress on the planet and in life. Which brings us up to the whole point of this. There's a lot of information I need to put out about the chakras, about how energy actually transfers from the creation of each atom. There's also another process in which there's a continual stream of energy coming in that supports life within the denser form of the materium world. The chakras are indeed the transport system for that energy of life at various different levels. The Muladhara at the bottom, which forms you might think our baser, grosser energy, is literally the energy that allows you to move around. But as you go further up into the chakra systems, you get higher and more subtle forms of energy, and you become a more and more complex being as those energies intrude into the very nature of your body, because they're part of your body. That's going to be the subject for a whole long discussion, because there's all kinds of detail involved in that that's very meaningful to understand. At the moment, though, what I wanted to get into excuse me, was the nature of complexity and how it's manifesting in the chaos presumed, exported, labeled chaos that's expressing itself all around us, as well as what I see happening with the factions and the whole of the New World Order. I have a unique perspective for a lot of different reasons. It's not like I'm setting myself up as being a great analyst from any kind of a trained sense, but I've lived all over the planet with all different kinds of people. I was not in the United States during most of my formative years, and yet I'm uniquely American in many regards. And but I have a perspective that is comes from any number of different parts of the planet, because I've lived on those parts of the planet for years because of the nature of the way in which the army transfers the dependents around, and have seen things from the perspective of the natives over there, depending on where over there is. And so as a result of that, I've got a view on the level of complexity that escapes a lot of people that were born in the United States or North American continent and basically have never left it or never lived outside of it for any prolonged period of time. Expats are very useful. Usually they're bitter, terrible people that have different issues with their homeland for their own karmic reasons and or reasons of a local upheaval and population changes. But they provide everybody with a view of themselves and a collective, you know, we America kind of a view that, if you've got the brains to look at it, is very, very, very useful, because seeing yourself as others see you can prevent all kinds of problems. It's like, oh, geez, I'm being a real ass. Maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. Now, this doesn't translate to our, quote, leaders. In fact, who are our rulers, who are part of the illegal and evil a minion class of the secret shadow government guys, but it does apply to the populace. And this is part of the problem, actually, with the complexity in the New World Order and all of this. I actually think that the New World Order guys are fighting for their lives at the moment. That they're desperate, desperate, desperate. There's just signs of desperation going on everywhere. The New World Order guys are so scared shitless of what's happening to themselves now and the projections that they have put out to the future, that they're doing all of this weird stuff with all this huge rise in fascism in a very rapid fashion. Now let's examine what is going on. All of the laws, everything being pushed in from the year 1999 forward, in basically a 12-year period of time, they've accomplished about twice as much social engineering at a global level as occurred prior to World War II. In terms of the Enabling Act and the laws and everything, it took twice as long to get World War II set up as it has to get World War III set up, but they don't have World War III. And they're really, really upset about this. And so they're trying other approaches. They tried approach number one, 2007, it didn't work, and they've been trying ever since to push this World War III agenda and get their whole thing going. But they've got problems. Some of the problems are of their own making, in the sense that they are the ones that created the ideas of the chaos and the conflict from which they were going to emerge their order. The problem was, in order to do this in a global fashion, they had to increase complexity beyond anything that they can actually manage. And the complexity itself, the nature of complexity, has intruded upon their ability to manage it, because, just think about it, from the viewpoint of the New World Order guys, in order to keep everything secret, they got to put everybody into little tiny boxes, and then they've got to figure out some way to manage all these little tiny boxes so that people in the little boxes don't talk to each other. And then there's a further level of complexity, because they got to manage all the people that are managing the boxes. And then somebody's got to manage those people, and so on. And this leads you ultimately to the point where you have the Pentagon with, 88,000 employees, in a chain of command that has, soldier on the ground, having, 55 bosses above him in a direct chain of command. And it's sort of the inverse of the way that armies and everything used to be. This is why they're desperate to get the robotic aspect of things automate the actual killing and control of the human population. This is why they're desperate to get things like electronically activated handcuffs with unique internet ID addresses so that they can zap groups of people via SQL statements down to the individual being or up to, you know, groups of people that are rioting in different cell blocks, that kind of thing. Because they'll be able to craft a SQL statement in a computer somewhere, send out a signal the computer in charge of that will say, okay, and send off the signal itself, which will, you know, send out drugs out of the handcuffs or zap the people or fry them or whatever it's supposed to do. And they want to be able to do that to the population as a whole. And one can ask, rightly so, why? What's their motivation? What's happening? Well, the New World Order guys are being squeezed. They're really in a world of hurt. You should go and read the Veterans Today article about the secret space war. Listen to Gordon Duff and some of the stuff that he's written. Go and read that. Have a look at the David Icke stuff. Get a real large view of things. And you come back to the understanding of what is occurring right at this moment, especially if you've got these 3D goggles and you've actually seen the things occurring over your head when there's no chemtrails. You'll note that there's a huge war going on up in space. And a lot of the debris we're seeing coming down here fits with our old ALTA reports, and I don't even remember if it was a SHAPE report or an ALTA report, it's been so long, but about the remnants of Rama, which is a famous science fiction book. But in this case, I was using the term in a literary illusion fashion to suggest that we're going to have debris from space battles falling on our head. And that's what a lot of these multicolored fireballs and things are. It's the debris of what's going on at the moment above our heads, about 145 to maybe 500 miles out. There's this really intense war going on. This war is putting pressure on the secret shadow government, aka New World Order, aka whatever. But those guys are not the minion class. The secret shadow government interacts with the bankers because the bankers are the ticks that are sucking the blood out of all of us to support the shadow government because and the shadow world out there, the breakaway civilization, because those guys cannot exist without us. They need things. They need minerals. They need energy at the crude fashion of heat to fashion the metals to do the changes into the technology, etc. They need resources in the form of rare earth minerals. They need metallics. They need radioactives, all kinds of things. They need labor. They may even, for some weird-ass reason, need genetic material to trade with the space aliens who are probably using us as food. Very likely so. At that level. And so bear in mind, you know, that's another discussion we have to have in another Wujo, which is the difference between cattle and a gorilla. A very interesting topic. But here we are with the New World Order fighting for its life. New World Order includes at the bottom all the minion people like Obama and all of his guys, and, you know, in the military, and that's unawake or unaware to the real reality, those that are merely tools, those are outside the minion class. The minions sort of know what's going on, and so it would be the upper echelon military that know that there's more there than what they've been told was there, and thus they're a little bit on the paranoid side. It would probably include a lot of people in the intelligence world, and that would be our, from our viewpoint as regular humans, that would be the bottom edge of the secret shadow world above us at the minion level that goes all the way up through the politicians into the high-end bankers and so on. Now, most of the guys in Wall Street, they don't have a fucking clue. These guys are as soulless and retarded as slugs, and as about as awake as a good-sized banana slug. They are useful tools to the bankers for raping the rest of us. They're amoral. They've been trained that way. They will not do well in the upcoming years. We can kind of like get them out of our minds. They're going to be an impediment, but they will be a self-limiting one. The bankers and above, though, the tribalist elite are they're an issue. And we're going to have to deal with them, but there's a relatively small number of them, and there's billions of us. And they can kill half of us, and they still will all die, which is a good ratio for us. Not that it's good to be in the half that dies, but, you know, we're all eternal, and we'll come rotating around again, and death is but a doorway and a momentary exchange out of the materium, and you'll reform. It's not that big of a deal, although traumatic at the moment. So, anyway, Here we are with the complexity of the New World Order that it's imposed on itself, the Minion people having to take all their workers and chop them up into all of these boxes and then figure out some way to organize the boxes, has led the New World Order, because they were sort of successful in the 50s and 60s and 70s, to think that, ooh, box management is a cool idea, and we can just extend that to where every being on the planet is a box, and we just have a big enough computer system, automated system, that allows us to manage all the boxes at the level we want. Makes sense to them. They're infallible. They think they've got it all. Well, now, though, the situation has radically changed. The paradigm of the box management that has been imposed from the last century and the last millennium is under a great deal of stress, because they had not anticipated the nature of complexity and how complexity grows exponentially once a certain level of understanding is reached. And now not only have they created all of the boxes, they've created within all the boxes all these millions of separate little agendas. The joke being that if you've got, you know, 65,000 CIA employees, you've got 130,000 subplots. So, and it varies depending on which two CIA guys are talking to which other two CIA guys at the moment. Same thing is true of basically all the intelligence agencies and all of this kind of thing. Allegiances shift on a moment-by-moment basis. It makes the complexity of the Venusian and Papist wars of the 1700s, 1800s and the Byzantine political maneuverings look positively simple. It is that complex on what's going on. Very difficult for these people in the little box mentality to navigate this and to understand what's going on. This may indeed be a part of another subject, or another subset of about a subject of about the awakening process, and how I think that there's actual changes in the nature of perception such that universe is providing us with this. And in fact, let's divert for a second. I'm of the opinion that one of the problems New World Order has is that there is a wave of awakening that is consciously directed from the consciousness on the other side of Materium coming along here deliberately to put this pressure on the New World Order guys at this moment. Basically, the Materium, or universe, if we want to think of it that way, is pushing the awakening process to the extent that it's causing people like Brzezinski and all of his buddies in the Council on, Council on Fucked Up Relations, the CFR, to really sweat it. These guys are very desperate now. They realize the awakening process can't be controlled, that it is exponentially growing, which is really true. It's kind of cool. Here it is, 2012. I've been doing this, these kind of, not discussions, not the Wujo things, but the totality of the work I've been doing as a, quote, awakening person extends all the way back to 1999. And yet here we are, and I'm still getting people that are stumbling across my material for the very first time. Those poor bastards, imagine running into all of that stuff all at once out there, as opposed to growing up along with it. Must be quite the shock. Nonetheless, though, it shows that bloop, 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 bloop approach to universe is indeed working, and that it is going to destroy the Big Bang Theory, where everything is created in a big empty space that's manageable. You'll note that really is at the core of it. You know, we could label the two camps that way. The little bloop guys, where bazillions of little bloops come on out and independently cause problems for the big bangers. And the big bangers are of the opinion that because there's a giant empty space out there, they're able to claim it and own it. Not understanding that we bring the space with us. We bring our own gravity with us. Gravity does not exist, by the way, outside of the space boundary of any given atom. So there is no such thing as a gravity matrix that exists independent of the individual atom. The gravity, if we were to take all of the atoms out of universe and still have space, which is an impossibility, there would be no gravity in space. There would be no gravity as a mechanism. Not only would there be none of that, there'd be no electricity, etc. But the point being that it is a perception of universe that has allowed these guys, the Big Bang fellows, to actually believe that they can be in control of things and that their approach could have a chance of success. if you're a little blooper sort of a fellow, then you understand that all of our atoms are discrete. They have a lifespan of their own. There is no such thing as persistence in a universe in that sense. Nothing is solid, and we are all discrete. And you're more of a neural net kind of a guy in terms of this. You're non-deterministic. And you understand that control and rule by force at that level must break down simply because of the nature of universe, that there's bazillions of complexities creating themselves and increasing the level of complexity beyond the ability of management to occur. So, here we are at this stage. New World Order is finding itself rubbing up against all kinds of boundaries and problems in the complexity world. It's a very unique time. With the breakaway civilization, it might actually be possible to get these guys to a table to sit down and understand reality and make a deal that they would live with and actually be quite happy to live with, because the bastards are desperate. They see no out. It's because of their perception that's caused that. They are perceiving the world and universe in such a way that they've literally built a wall around their own perception and are unable to see the various different alternatives that present themselves continuously to the conundrum in which they find themselves. Now, that having been said, these guys are... many of them are likely tainted by their experiences, if not by actual mind control, whose he was, it's from aliens or who the hell knows what. And the complexity of, again, of this can't be understated or unappreciated. But I think there actually is a mechanism whereby the complexities of our particular positions, you know, the regular humans suffering as slaves, and those who would claim themselves our masters could be merged back into a more harmonious whole. A lot of people would say that that's particularly naive, but there's a lot of reasons that I have to understand that we're at a unique point in history and a unique time that may allow this to occur. There's very few months that it could possibly occur. This window of opportunity probably fades dramatically in less than a year. And during this period of time, we're going to, according to our work here at Half Past Human and the remote viewers at farsight.org and so on, we're going to hit a complexity wall that is going to shift everything in a single short period of time. We can call it a geological instant if we want, but for humans it might be a series of weeks. Nonetheless, though, it'll be one of these things where a giant Sandy kind of Katrina Rita storm effect hits us all, and the world has changed for everybody, including the breakaway civilization. Because without us in a good, healthy, functioning system, they suffer, and they're suffering now. The world has gone batshit crazy with the tribal bankers taking everything they possibly can out of the system in a wholesale rape and pillage, because they are uncontrolled at the moment. But the trend that was set in place, with the bankers being the ticks that are sucking all of the blood out of us and so forth, was created by the New World Order shadow government guys. They just don't know how to stop that trend once they put it into place, and that has led, they couldn't control the process. Once they corrupted the individuals and corruption was in their soul, there was no stopping on them. There was no, because there's no outside moral authority or internal moral boundaries, once they had corrupted these individuals, they just did as nature bid them, as they have been trained to, and have bled the system to this state and totally screwed it over. Also, the nature in which the systems are being bled so rapidly, independent of the Wall Street guys going batshit, tells me that the desperation of the New World Order, the desperation of the shadow breakaway guys is quite acute, and that they are indeed suffering great losses, because we guys are having to support that part of the war. We're losing. The New World Order guys are losing. The shadow breakaway guys are losing. The breakaway civilization is losing the war, and we're having to have more of our blood, sweat, and tears sucked out of us. That's why our social order is so poor. That's why the instant poverty around all of the planet. At its core, that money is disappearing. The things that money represents, the metals, the foods, the energy, are disappearing from the surface world and going into the shadow breakaway world. world, and they are not returning. That's why we are in this state of increasing poverty. Yeah, there's designs, and there's corruption in the system. There's also systemic collapse, and all of the other things are absolutely true. But at a very high level, the shit's disappearing off the planet, people. And that stuff's got to be going somewhere. So, and we used to have that stuff here, and we used to use it, and we can't use it anymore. So that's why we're so poor. Our resources are going away. This obviously can't continue. Well, we know universe, by the way, from our viewpoint, is going to come along and bitch slap all of us, and this over this next 5 or 6 months, and that won't continue because the slaves will be so devastated that they won't be able to produce. There's a real interesting dynamic here that you can relate to in two ways. Let's relate it to the first as slaves and then as mercenaries, and both of these are historically accurate. A large civilization that is very flat pyramid shape, not the usual 45 to 51 degree angles, but something much more acute, where you have a very tiny group of people at the top of a very wide flat pyramid. That tiny group of people is extremely dependent upon the health of that pyramid below them. And if you are dependent on a slave population and a disease were to come through and devastate your slave population, even if none of the elite were touched by that disease, they too are devastated because their standard of living falls with each and every death of every slave, up to the point that there's a certain criticality, they don't care. But that criticality can be very easily at the very low level of their flattened pyramid. So you take out the bottom two layers, and they're done, because there isn't enough human population to support them in the way that they need, not necessarily have been accustomed to, but the way that they need, especially as their needs are now growing, in that they're basically throwing all of our energy and stuff in this war against these extraterrestrial bastards off-planet. So, that being the case, they are in a world of hurt. Their desperation is coming through loud and clear, both in terms of how bad they're bleeding us, and also the language that is infiltrating itself into our consciousness slowly at the point that the secret shadow government interacts with the minion world. And there's all kinds of official documents. If you wanted to go to the trouble like we do, you can go and track the changes in language in these official documents over time. You get a very weird perspective of the planet as a result of this. And you know that the shadow government guys, the breakaway guys, are indeed suffering from some level of malaise. I'm at the moment ascribing it to losing the war, but who knows what it actually is, because the level of complexity is rather large. And to a certain extent, the details do not matter. They are suffering at the level of complexity that puts us in this bind where our planet is going to hell. And part of the problem is that the slaves don't have the bigger picture. So many of our internal little bloop kind of actions are counterproductive to both our own interests over time as well as those of the people that claim to rule us. See, in the sense that, we might want to cooperate. We might want to fight this war with them. We don't know. We've never been offered the chance. If we were cooperating, it might be a little bit more like World War II instead of Vietnam. Okay, nobody wanted to cooperate with Vietnam, and there were bazillions of acts that sabotaged that continuously. World War II, it was a less of a issue that way. Those people that were against the war, who were awake and knew what was going on, merely did not participate. The social order would not allow active, even individual acts of defiance within that generation. That had changed by the time of the Vietnam War, where there were individual acts of defiance throughout that whole war, and everything was just one big screwed up mess from one thing to another. I'm telling you, people in logistics would, deliberately not deliver things, that sort of thing. So it was just a big bollocks, but it was socially supported because the invasion and everything, it was just a, put up job from the beginning, and we all knew it at some level, and were distinctly opposed to it all. Well, that's kind of where we're at now. You've got all of the people on the planet here totally oblivious to what's going on up above their heads, and as a result of which, all of us are making individual decisions that have collectively impacted the species and its reactions to and interactions with the breakaway part of the species that is desperate to survive this war. Now, if they lose, we may also lose as a species. We don't know. Maybe those guys are up there fighting, the slobbering, blood-sucking aliens that are going to come down here and harvest us like cattle or rabbits or something. And, we'll be ending up being served on platters to these guys in some little dungeon somewhere, all sliced and diced. That may well be what they are fighting. If so, hey guys, I'll fight with you if that's the case. I don't care what kind of a bastard you are. You know, the enemy of my racial or my species enemy is my friend. They're my cousin at that point. We can duke it out among ourselves afterwards. But in the meantime, you know, it's human to human against the can't think of the moment, the blood-sucking beasties from Ballwart or whatever. In any event, though, we're not being offered a choice. And consciousness is an interesting thing. When consciousness has huge levels of dichotomies around it like this, certain things are forced out. If you as an individual have patterns in your life that you are refusing to deal with, that pattern becomes greater and greater and greater in amplification over time. The pattern still exists, the template still exists until you're forced to deal with it one way or another, or until the pattern kills you. Quite actually, we see this happen all the time to everybody. Unawareness of the life unexamined is a very dangerous life to live. This is also true at this point in complexity. So, and hey, here's something else to think about. It may be something as weird as this war in space that causes the global coastal event. In other words, one way to hit a planet really hard would be to just grab an asteroid and fling it on in. Or maybe it's a, you know, one of these giant motherships that crashes in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that starts the whole process off. We don't know. Could even be some kind of a weapon that they've got planted down there. Again, another way to disrupt a planetary defense system would be to disrupt the planet, cause tectonic plate action to occur with your super-duper weapons that you've got that we don't know anything about. But we do know that they are acting as though we're at war with all of the TSA, Homeland Security crap here and in the European areas. Almost all of it, the areas that are really densely going fascist, though, are the Anglo core of the planet, and these guys have been at the forefront of the, let's say, Anglo-Teutonic and dealing with the space aliens, so I suspect that's the case since all the rumors exist. The language goes back that far as in the 1920s, of contact between the, actually even before that, I mean, there's evidence in the 1500s from the John Dee period that the Brits and the, especially the Royals, were attempting to contact extraterrestrials, flat out. That's what they were out to do, and indeed probably succeeded at some point. I mean, if you've been trying for that many centuries and you don't give it up, hey, I bet you there was success along the way. So anyway, this is where we find ourselves. Complexity is increasing to a huge level. The complexity that has hit universe is increasing at the little bloop level. This is an infinite universe because it's going to continue blooping out atoms and stuff ad infinitum, as far as I know, eternally. And so the universe will keep growing, but it is not as the Big Bangers would have you understand it. And so each of the little bloops needs to become basically aware that of its participation in its role in the greater consciousness of bloopdom that is universe, because the breakaway guys are in a real world of hurt. The New World of Order, and insofar as the Anglo language-centric empire, is not going down easily. It's going to go down. I mean, we know that there's going to be fairly large, or we suspect that here at Half Past Human, there's going to be a fairly large derivative explosion, not an implosion, but an explosion. I suspect early in January. The data we have seems to suggest that it'll occur before Obama gets his next chance to flub the swearing in. So, I don't know, what is it, the 20th of January? So sometime between now and the 20th of January, there's going to be this explosion of a derivative that's going to cause a whole lot of problems, and there basically goes a part of the, big part of the financial system. It'll take another couple of months to dribble out, I think. In any event, if anybody knew how to, profit off of, overinflated bonds, you'd better do it now, because they're going to be, non-existent, I think, after this derivative goes kablooey. The derivative somehow seems to be related to firehouses, fire hoses, firefighting. I don't know if it's a firefighting company, fires. It doesn't appear to be interest rate. It's just this weird thing. We get a lot of words that relate to firefighting. So, you know, how that would relate to derivatives, I don't know, because I don't follow them in details, but I'm pretty sure the data source. In any event, we're there now. The complexity levels that I wanted to discuss here well, get into the complexity and how it affects chakras and how the energy comes on in, and that actually all relates to where we're at now. Because these guys don't understand these things, and because, the New World Order types, the shadow government guys, maybe at the very top there are scientists within the shadow government world that know all the stuff that I know, that can see some of the things that us batshit regular humans can see. But they're so compartmentalized, they can't tell the upper ones that, no, your paradigm is wrong, and if you look at it this way, look at the marvelous opportunities that are available to us. In other words, if you're out there fighting with somebody and you, how do I want to put it this way, and you don't realize that the mat is three-dimensional, you're going to make a whole lot of moves that will quickly get you into a bind, and you'll continue to bind yourself fighting in a two-dimensional world. And as soon as you open your mind to the idea of three-dimensional potential, then you have an entirely new realm of action that's possible to you. Now, this, I think, is what the upper guys are trying to do with time. That they think of it that maybe there's an approach that can get them a solution outside of our current time by going back and monkeying around with a previous time. Again, their perspective is slightly skewed. If you think of the Big Bang, then you're thinking of a giant space that has nothing in it that has to be filled up by all the atoms that are blasting themselves out of all the suns and stuff, and it's an erroneous view of reality. Because you also think of space-time as a single unit like that, where this giant empty space exists, filled with nothing, except for time. And as you flow into it, you use up the time as you're flowing through it. That's basically their understanding, and that affects the string theory and all of that, and they're all wrong. What happens is that time is a function of the individual little bloop creation of matter, anything from a hydrogen atom to any other atom. Not only do the atoms bring along their own gravity, and the gravity exists in that little bloop of the atom itself, but they also bring along their own time. Now, time is different than gravity. They share one thing in common, and that is that they can interact with that element within other little bloops. So in other words, gravity within every one of my cells and every one of the cells in the materium can interact with the gravity in every other cell that is within its proximity, or even non-proximity. The non-local effect is achieved this way, because the gravity within any given little bloop can interact with any other given little bloop, a la Indra's net, where all the little bloops can see each other at this consciousness level. And can be manipulated that way. Same thing is true of time. The time within an individual little bloop cell atom interacts with the grander collection of all of the other cells, and the time interact with that grander collection of time. That's where the difference exists. The gravities interact with each other at a quanta level, and we perceive gravity in a grander scale as a abstraction that it can be expressed on all of universe, not recognizing that it really only exists within the two little bloops that are interacting with each other. Time, on the other hand, does exist at a grander scale and does not interact with each other at the little bloop level. It only interacts with each other at the little bloop to grander scale level. So it's an interesting duality there, where they're very similar, but they're also different in terms of how that expression comes about. I've been taking a lot of your time here on this, speaking of time, as we do frequently. But the whole idea of the complexity and the issues we've got going with the New World Order is going to become very acute here as we go over these next couple of months, and we'll all see this. The awakening population issue is, I'm pretty sure, is a tactic that's being employed by the larger consciousness to put pressure at a different and lower level that actually has created a certain opening, if you will, I think, in the minds of some of the Council on Fucked Up Relations and the New World Order types. It doesn't matter, by the way. I'm not opposed to the individuals. If I had to sit down as a representative of the regular humans to sit down and negotiate with some of these fucked up, fucktard bastards, I would not express that level of disrespect to them as individuals. But it's okay for me to do so collectively. So this is a different form of prejudice, if you will, in the sense that I would never castigate an individual, because an individual's intent and motivation and circumstances and their own karma are beyond their ability to affect, and so to a certain extent all beings are cut some slack because of the karmic level. However, collectively, it's quite okay to label them. But the issue of the labeling once it's applied to the individual, that's like Voltaire says, if you believe the absurdity that you're facing a communist or a Catholic or a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or, you know, a black or a white or an Asian or a green or a yellow or, you know, whatever, as opposed to a human, then you're listening to the absurdities, and they can get you to create, cause, atrocities against that person by getting you to believe that that larger label is what stands before you and not the human. And so whenever I'm faced with a human, I see the human. However, in an abstraction, it is very nice to be able to consider these individuals as, you know, the Council on Fucked Up Relations, because it collectively states our states an understanding that collectively these individuals are behaving as fucktards. And they, individuals, many of them probably don't wish to behave as fucktards and would go along with us, but the organization has them trapped. And this is where we cut them all some slack. You know, yes, it's an evil, nasty, rotten bastard dictator, you know, but Hitler liked animals. Hitler was a vegetarian. Hitler as a human was different than Hitler as the representative of the fucked up system that he was trapped within. Exists. This is why I don't like representation. I don't like organizations that way. Any organization I join, which the only one I've ever joined is this world government thing, has to be absolutely flat with no hierarchy, no imposition of authority, etc. Human to human, because that's the way the universe is. There is no greater authority than you as an individual within your own world. If you perceive, for instance, the world as the Big Bangers would have you understand it, you are merely a small thing within this giant microcosm, or macrocosm. You are the microcosm that is, you are micro. Look at it the other way, though. Look at it from the little bloop standpoint, and you see how vital you are. The space that you occupy does not exist without you occupying it. Therefore, you are vital, absolutely vital, to that functioning component of universe. Universe created you because it needed you. You know, hey, yeah, it's like, yeah, there is purpose here. And universe created your atoms so that you would have the ability to exercise that purpose as your karma and it deems fit. But look how vital you are. Universe does, the part of universe that you occupy does not exist without you. This is a very key concept because it allows you to reframe yourself. Yes, we're infinitesimally small against the grander collective that is the materium. How could it be otherwise? But again, collectively, if we all exit the materium, materium does not exist. It resolves back down to a single little atom, a single little bloop. And does not exist in any way, shape, or form without all the beings within it. So collectively and individually, we are so vital to it that our perspective as owners of the universe is quite valid. We own the universe in which we are participating. And it is every bit as valid for us to exert our ownership of universe as it is for the, you know, Council on Fucked Up Relations to think that they can exert their influence on universe. And this is where they've suddenly run into a real problem. Not only do they have the their minions and everybody getting shit from all of us as we wake up and cause others to wake up, and that process itself seems to be growing and gaining strength, and that's got them scared, but they've got the imposition of chaos or order, I don't know which way it's coming, from outside of them in terms of they have involved themselves wittingly, willingly, or not, and they've involved us via connection, species connection, with this interplanetary war, or interdimensional, or however you want to think of it, war that's going on our planet and above our heads and out in the solar system. And they're not doing well. These guys, because of their paradigm, have locked themselves into a stupid position. They can't see all the alternatives that are available to them at all, and are basically screwing all of us because they're into the management of little boxes in that view of reality. What we need to do is, what would be nice if we could do it, I don't think it'll occur, is that we could meet with these guys, get them onto the mat, get some of the issues out, deal with the emotions, settle down, then sit down and come up with a common understanding of where we're at, and throw some suggestions these guys cannot possibly see. And off we go. Now, in reality, our data suggests otherwise. Our data suggests that the compartmentalized, boxed-in guys are going to crumble and fall into disarray as the whole little box system of systems becomes systemically unstable and comes unglued over these next 5 months, during which we'll be struck by some level of earth changes, natural or otherwise, whether it's an attack from the interdimensional guys, or it's actually the expulsion of stuff from the sun. We can't tell from our viewpoint of the data. We just know it will occur by June 1. I have reasons to suspect that the more likely period is April and May, probably end of April, early part of May. Gives us a few months. However, we know that the derivative explosion stuff will occur, is most likely to occur before Obama's next swearing-in flub-up. And therefore, any kind of currency level preparations you may have in mind need to be addressed fairly rapidly. As from that point on, hyperinflation will occur from January period on when the derivative explodes. This firefighting derivative or something related to fires, or, you know, firemen's pensions funds, I don't know, something related to firefighters. When it explodes, that is the trigger that sets off this rampaging hyperinflation that will, over the course of the next couple of months, cause governments to fall, social unrest, all kinds of problems. So we're here now, folks, and it's really going to start unraveling. There's a lot you can still do, even within the midst of all the chaos, even without money. Education is what is going to keep people alive. Understanding and knowing things will keep people alive. The ability to store food and all of that kind of stuff will not necessarily help you. Not only are there earth changes, but I'm quite convinced that the interplanetary war is going to intrude on all of us down here probably from June onward of next year, but we'll certainly get there. At that point, we have, again, social unrest, diaspora, vast movements of people, all of this kind of thing. So it's going to be a real interesting period. And we shall have a whole lot of fun with it, bearing in mind, of course, we are eternal. As our little atoms exit this materium, our consciousness merely returns back to the other side and resets for the next appearance. And so you can, to a certain extent, have a bit of freedom. Death is what makes life worth having. And we're going to get to see a lot of opportunities to deal with our interaction with it and that level of change over these next few months. It's going to be very exciting. Last thing is let's get in shape for it, I guess. And you'll know fairly quick within the next month or so that the projections are accurate as we see the real degradation of the economic system. At that point, if you've heard this talk, then you'll know that, okay, within a couple of months of that, we're going to have a very large set of earth changes that occur, natural or unnatural. And from that point on, government won't exist, the Council on the Fucked Up Relations guys won't exist, Queen of England won't exist, as far as I know. If she does, it's like, boy, you know, I'd hate to be trapped in Britain after the coastal event with all those pissed off Brits if I were royalty. So anyway, it's going to be a very interesting time, and we'll all collect and gather notes over this year and say, wow, it's 2013, and I guess you want to say disclosure, although it won't happen the way that Wilcock and all these other, exopolitics guys think it's going to occur. It's going to be entirely different, and I don't know how much they're going to like it. But somebody who's really into excitement and violence and the expression of universe that way, not in terms of interpersonal violence. I like the violent expression of universe, fierce weather, strong winds, that kind of thing. As universe changes, it's nice to get your attention, something to do. And so I'm going to settle back, have a cup of tea, get some food, take care of Kathy for a while. Got her back from the hospital. Things are good. We're going to really hit recovery this time. And we're going to do some work. I've got a few projects here, so see if we can't get some stuff created and out the door. Right at the moment, the big furfuses are saying food, food, food. So, bye, guys, and pay attention to this complexity versus simplicity argument. It really is important.